Well, welcome to the Highway to Higher Ed, the podcast that considers issues facing students applying to college and university as they transition from high school to the next step in their educational journey. This is the first episode of season 5, and we're happy to have you listening. The podcast has a number of guests lined up for the season, just like today's, that have a wealth of knowledge about our topic matter and the insight to help parents and families make shrewd educational decisions for their kids. And I'm your host, Ken Hinker. Now, in the last episode, Alex Merrill and I discussed the ways a top-notch tutoring company provides services to families looking to support students and maximize educational opportunities. Today, we're lucky to have an expert in that transition between secondary and higher education, an entrepreneur and an experienced tutor in her field. I'm joined by Nikki Kelman, the founder and director of New England Education Consultants. She has served as director of admissions and been instrumental in serving 4 different universities in the Northeast. Nikki holds an MS in higher education administration and is a proud member of the Independent Educational Consultants Association. She's also been director of admissions at a private high school in the same area. In short, Nikki knows the field, inside and out. Alliance Tutoring and New England Education Consultants often team up to provide the best services to a multitude of clients seeking positive outcomes for their students. Nikki, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you today. The first episode of season 5. Of Highway to Higher Ed.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we are really, really lucky to have a little bit of your time and, more importantly, a bit of the value that you can add over to those parents and those students that, frankly, really need the kind of advice and the sort of insight that I know you have provided for dozens and dozens of clients already. And long may it continue.
Absolutely. I have a lot to share. I feel like I can't just hold on to this knowledge. I have to help out. So there's lots of folks that I'd love to lend some info to.
Well, that's great. You know what? There's no better way to kick off a new season than to speak to a student advocate like yourself, somebody who is particularly interested in making kids better and allowing them to pursue their own dreams. And so I'm wondering, kind of straight off the bat, why did you choose the field? What was it that kind of drew you to the business and to the avocation that you've got now, Nikki?
Yeah, well, I don't think many students go through high school thinking, I know, I want to be a college admissions counselor. That's not something that you usually, you know, see as an option to go into as a career path. But I think I always knew I just wanted to help people. And so education happened to be the platform that I used to create a career where I could help people. And I learned that there's many different areas of education that you could go into as a pathway as I continued into the field. So that was kind of the initial pathway into it. But, you know, my background is pretty interesting, I suppose, in that I am one of those people where I knew in high school that I wanted to do something in education. And I've continued with that, which I suppose is rare. But I, again, going back to, I knew I wanted to help people. So initially, I thought I wanted to be a high school biology teacher. Ken, I lasted one day in college in that program. Day one of college, I decided I no longer wanted to be a high school biology teacher. So I tell my students all the time, it is okay to change your mind. You do not need to know at the age of 17 or 18 what you want to do with the rest of your life. There's just so much more out there for you to explore. High school students have really only been exposed to maybe 1% of the career opportunities that are out there. So, you know, taking advantage of your time in college to decide, you know, what career path you'd like to choose is totally fine. I then switched over to thinking I wanted to be a high school guidance counselor and quickly found out that was not the right career path for me either. But during this entire time as an undergraduate student in college, I was working in the admissions office, undergraduate admissions, as a tour guide and as a student worker. And then I took an internship my senior year of college in the undergraduate admissions office, where I actually had an opportunity to start to learn how to read applications of prospective students. I learned how to interview prospective students. And I just really got a great exposure to the career and decided this is perfect for me. Why have I never considered this before? So I decided to enter my career straight out of college into higher education. So I started in undergraduate admissions, continued to work at 4 different, very distinctly different universities throughout my career path. And I kind of quickly found out early on in my career that I really hated rejecting students. That was not a fun part of my job at all. So I thought to myself, well, what can I do where I can help students find the right fit college instead of finding the right student for my college? And that's where I found independent consulting. And it's been the best fit for me, and I absolutely love it. And so now I get to work with students one-on-one every day and help them decide what's going to be the right path for them. And it doesn't have to be choosing a career, but more so identifying what are their strengths and what are their talents and what are their passions, what are their interests, and kind of combining all of those pieces together to at least determine a next step and go from there. And I absolutely love it. And it's been so fun.
That's really interesting. And you and I have met a handful of times, I suppose, maybe just the once. And I had no idea that there was that sense of kind of dynamism and flexibility to your own approach to the way that you went through the undergraduate years and the kind of professional strategizing that you did as a result of that. It's actually really wonderful and heartening to hear too, maybe for parents, that you don't have to go in at 17 and a half years old knowing exactly the way that the rest of your life is your professional life or whatever is going to turn out. And so, Nikki, that sounds like it's amazing sort of model for the students that you have, because you have your own story to tell and you've already lived it as well.
Absolutely. And I'm also one of those rare people that uses my degrees every day in my job. I ended up double majoring in psychology and business, and I now own my own business doing counseling. So, you know, it's rare to see that. Most of my friends are not using their college degrees in their current careers, but I'm happy to say that I do use what I've learned. And I think it's more about choosing the right fit environment for college. This is what I try to explain to my students all the time, that college doesn't have to just be transactional. You know, it's really about the experience and the environment that you choose, because the college that I chose to attend for undergrad changed my life. It gave me my confidence. It gave me the right foundation for my career. It provided lifelong friendships and relationships that helped me figure out what I wanted to do for my career. I chose to go to a small private liberal arts college, and it was more of a boutique experience where I really was more of a big fish in a small pond. I got to try new things, and everything I am today is because of that particular choice I made at the time. And I try to explain to students that, you know, this is the first major adult decision that you get to make. You know, it doesn't determine everything, but it could change your trajectory. And so I want students to be intentional with this decision. And so I really instruct my students on how to do really intentional, meaningful research on the colleges that they start to add to their list, because it really can make a difference for you. So I do my best to explain that, but inevitably students really love the brand name schools that they see on TV, and I get that too. So, you know, there's pros and cons to both.
Well, you know what? It's intriguing because you and I share a couple of things there, which is when I was an undergrad, a couple of years, I guess, just before I graduated, I went to work in my own school's admissions office, and I was more of a gopher. It sounds like you actually had some pretty impressive experiences there. But it was enough for me to see the other side of the street, right? After I had kind of perseverated as a high school student over all the different things that could happen. And it sounds like you had some really good advice, like I did, from my folks, which was study what the heck you want and recognize that the classroom isn't the only place. It might not even be the most important place that you are going to determine what the next stage is, and that you're going to receive a heck of a lot of life lessons. And so as you're describing what it means to find a fit, it's really neat to hear you say everyone has a place, and it's not about denying somebody, which isn't what you liked, and it certainly wasn't what I liked in the admissions side of things. But how are some of the ways that in your own business, you're helping those families kind of negotiate what can seem like that real labyrinth where you find a fit, you don't have to find a success, or you don't have to find, you know, the only place that you've ever wanted to go? How do you help families find that fit?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, here in the Northeast, you know, education is a huge piece of our currency, basically. You know, students and families are, you know, very focused on that and making sure that when you're paying a hefty price tag for education, you want to make sure that there is some guarantee of success. Well, I think it's not about the name of the school that you go to. It's about making sure that students are prepared with transferable skills that will make them marketable for finding a job, but also about making them self-advocates, you know, when they go into the workforce. And so there's 3,000 colleges in the United States. There's no other country that has this many options, and that's fantastic. So the best thing about higher education in the United States is the variety. There's so many options. And I think, again, here in the Northeast, we've maybe only heard of the top 50 to maybe 100 colleges in the country, but there's so many other options. And just because you haven't heard of a name of a school doesn't mean that it's not a strong academic fit for your student. But I think the other thing that I have been trying to learn more about is that the jobs that are going to be available for students 5-10 years from now are not even created yet. So students that are going to college and choosing majors, it's more about what are going to be your transferable skills. You know, what program, academic program, are you choosing that are going to, you know, lend to give you experience for, you know, a potential career path, but more so, you know, where can that help with a variety of different careers? And students are, you know, creating their own career paths all the time as well. What I love about the current generation in high school and college is that they're very entrepreneurial. And that's fantastic. And I think, you know, it's great to see the small business world grow. As a small business owner myself, that's really great. And I think, again, there's the right fit for everyone, but there's a lot of change happening.
Yeah. Well, it really sounds like it. The business about transferable skills and about sort of marketable aptitudes, the ways in which one can leverage the sorts of information that they might be receiving in their college courses, or finding new ways to utilize the very, very important things that they're going to gain from their high school as well as from their college education. It reminds me of a term, I don't remember who coined it, but he called it future casting.
Yes.
There's this really neat thing that you've just been describing that it sounds like you do with your clients and with your families, which is you're thinking about the creativity that one might use as they are constructing an educational and a professional next step. Was that something that gradually developed after you had already begun the business, or was that something that you always sort of felt like was a piece of how you understood what admissions / college counseling / independent consulting, you know, was really about? I'm wondering where that happened in your consciousness, because it seems like it's very apropos and very of the moment.
Yeah. And again, I think just times have changed. And I think that this was never a discussion when I was going through the college process 20 years ago. I mean, I think it's also a trickle-down effect where colleges are more in tune with what do companies want in their potential hires, because, you know, colleges are businesses themselves. They want to be able to produce success after graduation. And so they are very much in communication with companies to find out, well, what do you need in order for you to hire our graduates? And so what they're finding out is that companies really want students with a variety of different skill sets and kind of a duality to them. So I love when a student tells me, well, you know, I think I love art and performing arts, but I also really love science, or I also really love business or something in STEM. Awesome. I love that you have these two very diverse interests, because that's actually going to make you more marketable for a job in the future. And you don't have to choose one. And I think that there's so many colleges that have, you know, they're obviously creating new majors all the time. And, you know, they're trying to also be reflective of the environment and the economy and what students want as well. So it's interesting to do like a deeper dive into what do students want, what do colleges want, and what do companies want, because that's the goal, is that everyone, you know, gets a job, gets a high paying job. And so I tell families all the time to always make sure you look at return on investment as far as determining the success rate or the strength of a college, because I think that, you know, colleges that dedicate a lot of time, effort, and money to their career services department, that's something that should be viewed as important, not just the name of the school or their ranking. So I think families are becoming more savvy around that language. So as you say, future casting, you know, I try to explain explain, you know, what that means. And so, you know, for a 17, 18 year old, they're not thinking about that at all. They're thinking about, you know, what's going to be a fun environment for me to make friends. And they should be thinking about that. They're teenagers. But us as adults, we need to, you know, offer some type of framework for them to think about. And so the way that I try to describe it to the teenagers I'm speaking with is, okay, well, what have mom and dad provided for you in your lifestyle that you hope to have in the future for your own lifestyle that you create for yourself? So do you like living in a nice home with your own bedroom and bathroom? Great. Like, let's work backwards. How do you achieve that? And so I think that, you know, when we were teenagers, you just think that's a given. Of course, I'll achieve that in the future. Well, no, you got to work hard to make good money in order to achieve that. And so, and it's becoming harder to do that, obviously, in our economy. So it's interesting to try to explain to students in their language, in their terms, you know, what their hard work means and how this plays out over time.
Yeah, that's really fascinating to hear about the way that the kind of orientation towards one's education has to splice together with what you and I and every parent knows are the very real needs and necessities of just making a life. Yeah. And so when you talk about that business between diversity of interests from a student who hopefully is just turned on by learning by the time she gets out of high school, it's one of those things that, and I may predate you just by a minute or two in college, I'm sorry, but we used to hear that kind of wide Renaissance woman was one of the sort of paragons or the models. And then we heard in the last 15 years or so, as I was writing all my college recommendations for different students, that you wanted pointy kids, right? Somebody who just kills it in the violin and is very good in the classroom, but doesn't have to be sort of expert in all things. It sounds like maybe there's a kind of reorienting where you say that the ROI is going to be dependent on what it does for the student's overall quality of life and the goals that they might have.
Potentially. After. Yeah. I mean, I believe everything's a pendulum, right? So, you know, it swings too far in one direction, then it swings back. But I do believe that, yes, in the early 2000s, the buzz term was well-rounded. And so every student needed to be well-rounded. You needed to have a variety of activities on your resume. And that shifted, you know, right after that to colleges looking for students that have really dedicated their time and effort into one or two activities that they feel they're really passionate about, that they have taken on leadership roles in, and that they've developed an expertise in potentially. And I think colleges are looking for students that are really going to contribute to their campuses. And you don't have to be a leader in everything. Colleges need followers as well. So, you know, you can't just be a leader in everything you do. But if you have something to add, and if you're going to be an asset to that campus community, that's important. You know, colleges want to be able to brag about their students, which is great. You know, they have so many great students applying. They want to be able to say great things about them and report about their amazing freshman class and all of their accomplishments. But they also want to create an environment where students can learn from each other. And so, you know, they want to help every student on their campus better themselves. And so that when they go out into the workforce, into the world, that they are going to make the college look good as an alumni, but also that students are doing great things with their lives into the future. So yeah, it's all connected.
Absolutely fascinating to hear from somebody who has only been on the other side of the desk for quite a while now, serving as a high school teacher and advisor and coach and all that kind of stuff. I'm really glad that I'm able to uncover stuff from
the secrets.
You know? I'm wondering too, are there particular traits that you think students can bring to that kind of, I don't know if the right word is to say the presentation that they might make to some of those colleges? I'm reminded of a crew coach I had who said, you don't have to be able to pull on every oar, you have to be able to pull on the right oar. And I wonder if there's something that might link up that metaphor, maybe it's too abstruse, that might link up with the way that you're describing fit and you're describing how a student can contribute in her own specific way, either to the college process or then once she's at the school. Does that make sense?
No, I see what you mean. I would say number one, you got to boast. I tell students all the time, the college application process is not the time for modesty. You know, you really do have to share, you know, everything that you've accomplished, and you should be proud of it. And I think that there's just this constant comparison to, you know, the surrounding peers that they have within their high school or within their community. But there's just a large, you know, universe of other, you know, students that, you know, maybe haven't done as much with their time. And so, you know, I always want to build my students' confidence that they have so much to be proud of. They're all unique. They all bring something different to the table. And, you know, colleges are definitely looking for, you know, what makes you unique. And if you're able to communicate that effectively, that's what's most important. But yes, you know, if you do have one particular area that you feel you have a strength in, and actually, you know, I want to pause and say, if you haven't found that yet, there's still time to experiment and try new things. Because, you know, I always tell students that by the time you get to college, if you're trying something brand new for the first time, that becomes a very expensive experiment. You know, so why don't we experiment for free in high school when everything is free for you? You can experiment now with very low risk. So, you know, if you think you want to pursue engineering, awesome. Then maybe as a junior in high school, go shadow an engineer for a couple of weeks. It doesn't have to be a formal internship. Just go get that experience and see if that's something that you enjoy. Because if you do enjoy it, that's going to be the motivation that you need to push through those really difficult classes that you have to take in college. But if you don't love that, then let's not waste time and effort for 4 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars on something that you don't have a passion for. So really take advantage of your time in high school to discover your talents and your strengths and your interests and your passions. And, you know, if you don't know where to start, start with mom and dad, start with mom and dad's friends, and just kind of talk, have informational interviews. That can be helpful too.
Sure. I really like what I'm hearing, because it sounds as if one of the sort of primary mottos, or one of the primary sort of through lines that you're following, is that you want students to be exploratory about their own learning and not to be strictly about what that final outcome might look like. The outcome will be there. It always will be there. Kids are going to apply to college. You and I are going to be tutoring kids. We're going to be counseling kids. Mm-hmm. But there's something that's more involved in the way that you're speaking, Nikki, about helping those students become as opposed to be on the page, right?
Yeah, you don't want education to happen to you. You know, you should be, yeah, you know, an active participant in it. You know, and I always tell students that college is still school. You know, if you don't love school, you don't have to pursue college. You know, I'm a college counselor, and I will steer students away from college if I don't think it's the right fit for them. So that is also okay. You know, there's many options outside of college if that's not the right fit for you. But if you'd like to pursue college, which is still school, you know, finding the right fit environment for you, both academically and personally and financially, you know, those are the three components. So, you know, you need to make sure you find the fit for all three of those. There's just so many options, and it doesn't have to be, you know, just that one brand name school that you've heard of. There's so many affordable options, and, you know, we can get into that separately, but it's this whole strategy. But yes, you know, I encourage students to be, you know, active participants in their education. If you have an interest in a particular area that your school does not offer an elective course in, seek one out. You know, you can find one through a community college or an online program, or in your local community at a community center. There's so many options out there. You can definitely find those experiences. And it doesn't have to be this official thing that offers you credit necessarily. It can just be something that you have an interest in and you do for fun.
You know what, Nikki? I know you said that you stepped away from the biology teacher piece after only a little while, but you sound like a heck of a teacher to me.
Well, thank you. I mean, I see it more as mentoring is really what I do. Like, yes, I'm counseling students as they navigate the college process, offering some advice. I try to offer unbiased advice, but, you know, I think that's one of my superpowers, is what I've learned over time, is that I'm a really good matchmaker. You know, when I meet a student within the first, you know, 5-10 minutes, I know what fit schools are going to be the right fit for them, even if they don't agree, which is okay. You know, I'm not here to tell them what they want. They have to tell me, and I'll provide that. But, you know, I know what's going to be the right fit for them. I think I'm just a walking Rolodex of college resource knowledge, which students don't even know what a Rolodex is. But, you know, that's what I'm trying to provide, is just some inside information, you know, in finding the right path, the right fit, the right environment and community. And then I'm also very thankful for having 15 years of experience in higher education to be able to share how does the admissions process work and why and what are those conversations like. And I think there doesn't have to be this, like, you know, curtain over the process. It's not like, you know, there's these older, you know, people sitting around a table and it's all a mystery. No, it's a lot of younger people that are really passionate about students and really want to help guide families and find the right fit student for their college. And, you know, I always say that admissions counselors have the name counselor in their name for a reason. You know, they really want to counsel families and they're not these scary people behind a gate that you can't access. You can access them and they want to meet you. And so I always encourage my students and families to just reach out. They're humans, you know, they're normal. So they'd like to talk to you.
Yeah. Man, I think that is unbelievably important, especially coming from, again, the side that I come from, is that it doesn't need to be the sense that this is an obstacle course, that somehow or another, there's always going to be someone who is, you know, judging you or like, oh, you didn't jump through that hoop high enough and that kind of thing. So, you know, really kind of taking a seat at the table, but also saying, I belong at the table. I am a very important component as a student who deserves to have the right choice for her. And it doesn't have to be everything for everybody. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the top five colleges that are whatever on the top of the list, but that you're actually a participant. You are not somebody who has to ask for things, right? We're not Oliver Twist. And so, you know, to hear you say that sort of exploratory nature and flexibility are two of the things that you have found are really crucial traits for kids who are getting into the process, I'm wondering if there are maybe one or two other traits that you might say, here's what's going to allow a student to find the right fit for herself. Are there some other things that, you know, maybe you kind of push forward with kids and say, consider acting this way or consider yourself in this particular way?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, junior senior year of high school is such a transitional time for students. They develop so much during this time. And so I think that this is really an opportunity to help all of us as adults that are helping teenagers navigate this process. I think it's all about building confidence and helping them learn how to be self-advocates. And it's not about being pushy. It's about really understanding your needs and what you bring to the table. So once you've done that exploring, you know, really identifying and then being able to communicate those strengths appropriately to colleges. You know, I also explain that it's called the admissions office, not the rejection office. You know, they're looking for reasons to admit you, not reasons to deny you. And so admissions counselors can be little detectives, but they usually don't have enough time. So I always tell students, just make it blatantly obvious. You know, everything that you know you bring to the table and why you're a fit for that college, put it at the top of the page, you know, explain all those things very clearly. You know, colleges are definitely seeking, you know, who's going to be the right fit. You know, at small, medium size schools, those admissions offices are hand selecting students to join their freshman class. And it's a really, you know, extraordinary process. And it's different at every college and university. They are all private institutions or independent institutions, so they can choose their own process. But, you know, it tends to be somewhat similar across the board and how colleges evaluate students. But I can, you know, I can guarantee every family that every admissions office is taking significant time to evaluate every student appropriately, you know, based off of what that college thinks is going to be the right academic fit and personality fit for their institution. And they obviously want to set students up for success. So they're not going to admit a student that they think is not going to be successful at their institution. So, you know, sometimes they self-select. So if a student didn't get into an institution that they expected to, you know, maybe everybody on board just thought it was not the right fit all around. There's another fit that could be better for that student. So, you know, I think it's just about keeping an open mind. But yeah, that trait would be self-advocacy for students to stand up for themselves. I also encourage students to be the one to pick up the phone or send the email to the admissions office and officers. And I know that parents think it's just easier for them to do it. They have the experience with that phone etiquette, but this is all a learning and developmental time for the students. So, you know, please encourage your students to do that. And I think it's about, you know, being that teacher, that instructor of explaining, okay, this is how you do this. And it's not a scary thing, but they've never done it before potentially. So it's just about, you know, the exposure. And that's just one of the steps that you can take to help your student become a better self-advocate, because when they go to college, parents aren't there anymore. So you need to make sure that your student is going off to this, you know, new community where and culture where they have to navigate this on their own. And yes, there are a plethora of great advisors and resources provided to students when they go to college, but they are, you know, independent for the first time potentially. And so it's important for them to go to college with those skills so that they can be successful once they get there.
You know, that reminds me so much. You're laying down so many great things that remind me of the relationships and the different kinds of situations that I've seen in the past. And then I know that families are going through all the time. You know, you do sometimes hear about the dad or the mom that will call up to the professor and who will say, you know, I don't know what you think you're doing. My kid is blah, 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 blah. But it is so crucial what you have just said that I know makes you a great mentor, which is you're asking the students to be an advocate for themselves and to say that you're going to have to be the catalyst of your own education if you're going to be the catalyst of your own professional life. And my goodness, what a difficult thing that must be, not for the student, but for the parents to hear. And I wonder... Yeah. Has that been something that you've also been able to sort of walk mm-hmm. down?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I see myself as more of a mediator between students and parents. And, you know, it's a funny thing in this world. And it's the same for, you know, anyone that works in higher ed that, in most scenarios, the parents are the ones, you know, paying the check to the college. But the student is the one receiving the education. So it's a fine line between both. But I think it's all about trusting teenagers and trusting our students that they do have the skill set. It's just allowing them to go out there and try and potentially make a mistake, oftentimes making a mistake. And that's okay. And that's all about learning. And I think there's this fear when there's a dollar amount involved that you don't want to allow for a mistake. But this is all about the skill building that they're going to need to be successful when they are out in the real world on their own. And I think, you know, the families that I work with, all of my parents that I work with are fantastic. They've done a great job parenting their student to get to this place. And I think it's at this point, trusting their student that they have the abilities and the capabilities and the skills to be able to take that next step on their own. But, you know, I can understand that can be difficult as well. And that's where, you know, I try to explain my services that I have it taken care of. And I'm gonna help that student, you know, get over that hump of that challenging thing and going from there. But you're 100% correct. Yeah, that's a difficult thing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's honestly one of the reasons I know that you and I both got into the business of student support and student mentoring, as you say, because it's not strictly students, it's families as well. And, you know, we've been around it both personally, but obviously we've been around it over the course of our professional lives too. And it's something that's really, really heartening. And it doesn't just come instinctually. Right? Because you're a parent or because you're a teenager, you don't know how to negotiate that stuff just because. And so, you know, there's a ton of value added that you're describing, I think, which is really, really crucial for what you do. There's no cheat code.
Right.
You can't just figure out, here's the way I'm going to get my kid into X college, or here's the way that I'm going to, you know, go to the place that all of my friends are going to if you're the teenager. It sounds like what you're saying is you got to be yourself and you have to allow the results to follow from your own educational and kind of personal goals. It's a hard thing because everybody wants color by number, but that's not the way that the process is going to work. And so, you know, I'm wondering if you've got a couple of success stories from either the counseling side of things that you've been doing recently or even from your admissions work earlier, which can kind of shed a little bit more light on how that particular attitude, being yourself and allowing the results to flow, because that's what makes a good fit. Are there success stories that you can think about? Maybe, you know, one or two kind of narratives that you can tell?
Yeah, you know, I like to try to give examples of, you know, students that have taken pathways that seem, you know, maybe unconventional. And there's ways that you can combine your interests, as I mentioned earlier. So for example, I know of a student who had a very strong ability in drawing and illustration and thought that they wanted to go to college for art, but they also really loved biology and they were deciding, should I go the pathway of going into medicine instead of art? And this particular student found that they can actually combine those two, and her job is now as an illustrator of science textbooks. So she draws the drawings that you see in science textbooks of different anatomy, which is so cool. So that's a pathway that they found. I have another student who really loved chemistry and also loved cooking and, you know, was cooking in their dorm room all the time and took a job with McCormick, the spice company. So utilizing chemistry and their love for cooking, which is really cool. So, you know, I try to, you know, see what you can do with your passions and, you know, finding the right supportive environment in college where you're going to, you know, meet other friends that are like you, meet professors that are going to challenge you, you know, try something new, get outside your comfort zone. Those are all, you know, things that you can do in general. So as far as success stories go, all my students have found success in their own way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of taking that time to explore, but also not being afraid of having multiple things. I feel like even myself, I was told to just pick one career path, Nikki. And no, I have multiple jobs and careers. You know, I also have an artistic side as well that I still do. And so, you know, I think it's okay to have multiple hobbies and interests, and you can continue with all of that. You know, I have, you know, some students tell me that they decided to give up guitar because that wasn't going to help them in their future career. And I say, don't give it up. You can still do that. And maybe there's a way that you can incorporate that. Put it on the resume. You never know. Maybe that is the topic that, you know, sparks the conversation with the hiring director for the job that you're applying to. Like, that's okay. You just never know, you know, what they're looking for. But again, they're all humans. You know, these aren't scary people. I think everybody is always looking for connection and belonging. And, you know, as teenagers are discovering their identity, it's okay to experiment.
You know, as you're describing that particular thing, the combining of two or three sort of loves and abilities, you know, again, it sounds like you're an absolutely fabulous mentor, but it really comes down to, perhaps, if you agree with me, I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong, but a kind of openness to new ways of perceiving why an education is supposed to take place. Again, there isn't this particular outcome that's supposed to happen, and you don't have to have it all figured out. And there's also, and this really flies in the face of what, you know, a lot of our society is saying, and particularly what it feels like so much of our secondary and higher education is saying, is that there just needs to be a sensitivity to what is very specific to the student, him or herself. Mm-hmm. And are there other challenges beyond market forces, which you and I have talked about a lot, but are there other challenges out there that maybe your students are seeing? Are there particular patterns that one might need to be attuned to in order to produce that really good fit?
Lots of challenges. I mean, I think that, you know, I'm thinking of another student who has been diagnosed with a learning disability her entire life. And instead of seeing that as a weakness, she turned it into a superpower. And she actually designed her own workbook resource for other students with learning disabilities that helps other students be able to accurately and confidently communicate what their learning difference is to then be able to advocate for themselves in their education and beyond as well. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, identifying, you know, what is your learning style? What are your learning needs? What are your interests and strengths? And being able to combine all of that to be able to, again, as I mentioned earlier, be an advocate for yourself, but, you know, maybe readjusting the framework of what is a challenge and turning it into something that can be a positive for you. And also just knowing that you're not alone. You know, there's so many other students that have similar, you know, academic profiles and, you know, obviously always saying that you will find the right fit college. There is the right fit college for every single student. There's 3,000 options. You're going to find one, but it might not be the same college as your neighbor or your best friend or, you know, somebody else that you thought you would follow. But, you know, you're going to meet upperclassmen and professors once you get to college, and maybe you want to follow one of their career paths, and that's okay too. So there's a lot more examples that are going to be presented to you once you get to college as well. So those are pieces that can help too.
One of the things I'm hearing you say that is really crucial, particularly on the last story there, is that there needs to be a kind of secondary question that asks, what is a challenge? Is the challenge simply to achieve a certain envelope in the mail? Or are there ways for us to challenge ourselves to be advocates for one another, to think about service not as a line on the resume, not as a line on the application, but in fact, as a way to produce something that is more full when it comes to how we contribute back, which only is going to help you in your university or in your educational journey.
It's about finding a purpose and a why. What is your purpose for being here? And, you know, we all have our own unique talents and interests, and we all have a purpose. And so it's important to help. That's what I try to do, is helping my students find out, you know, well, what is your purpose? What is your why? Number one, for your own personal gain, but number two, because every college is going to ask you that same question on their essays. So you're going to have to figure out how to write about it eventually. But, you know, that's important too. But it's wonderful when a student does discover, oh, I didn't even realize that that is a talent or a skill or, you know, something that I contribute or my purpose. I think that high school students just kind of go through the routine, the schedule, the monotony of their everyday lives and don't pause to think about those things. So I think that the college admissions process is the first time that they've been asked to pause and reflect on all of the pieces that we've talked about so far today. And it's so amazing when students have this introspective moment to really think about, you know, who they are. And you know, it's uncomfortable to ask them to be selfish. And that's what I do. I'm like, please try. Like, you know, this is your time to boast. This is your time to really think about yourself and what you bring to the table. And so it's funny to see students start to blossom and learn more about themselves through the process too.
You know, you really seem to have an approach that is oriented towards the kids seeing this not as a next task to be complete, right? But in fact, this is this cool blossoming that takes place at exactly the right time with a set of challenges, of course, because, you know, you've got to get to the place that you think you ought to or that you need to get to. But there's something about the very real fit that you're describing, if it's service, if it's combination of different talents that a kid might have, if it's learning to self-advocate for herself. There's something that is really, I think, important and heartening in the way that you're describing what you do as an independent educational consultant. Hopefully what Alliance Tutoring does when it comes to helping students, you know, sort of move from one place to another and realizing that there are all these different resources around, so many opportunities, and there doesn't need to be a cookie cutter way for someone to go from one place to another in her own educational journey. And so I'm hearing you describe something that is really pretty cool. And it almost flies a little bit in the face of what maybe other people and maybe parents would think is the reality. You know, that's all highfalutin, pie in the sky kind of stuff. But it's not, Nikki. And so I'm wondering what you think the situation might look like on the college counseling front and on the college admissions front in the coming years. Are we moving towards a place that you've described a little bit more and that you and I probably both agree would be the way to move our kids forward?
Oh gosh, everything is changing, Ken. I mean, there's not one way to describe. I think, you know, in the post-COVID world of college admissions, there are no longer trends, it seems. You know, every year has been completely different, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, I think that there is still some predictability in the admissions process, but I think it's also really cool to see that it's constantly fluid and there's new things popping up all the time. You know, some colleges have added on a video component to their application, which I think is great and lends a more personal opportunity for students to connect with the admissions offices. There are some schools that are, most schools are not going back to requiring standardized testing, but I think there is still value in standardized testing for the right student in the right program. I also think that, you know, students who maybe have not had a chance to build close relationships with their teachers during COVID, a lot of, you know, colleges aren't requiring teacher recommendations anymore. I mean, things are changing all the time, but again, I still believe in the pendulum effect. So I'm sure everything will swing back. But I love that there's progress being made in education and specifically in higher ed. And I just love seeing that there's new programs being developed based off of what students want and what companies want, and that it doesn't have to be this traditional thing anymore. It can move with the times. It can be progressive. And I think that there's just new ways of learning. There's new types of students. So education has to reflect students and what they need as well. And so I think, you know, in general, I love the trend that's happening and what is changing in the education world. And I'm sure it will continue to change, you know, 10 years from now again. But I think it's just a lot more flexible. It's a lot more fluid. And there's new ideas coming all the time.
That is, I think, really cool. And the statement that you made right there that really kind of made me stand up, it says, there are no longer trends in a post-COVID world. It's really intriguing to think that what we have to do on our side is to reimagine what the students might be going into. And at the same time, and this has happened in a number of different situations that I have been in as someone trying to, quote, get the kid into college or help the student get into college, is that there are no historical monoliths any longer, right? The parent's world is not the student's world. And it doesn't matter if you had your kid when you were 20 or if you had your kid when you were 40 or 45, right? Applying to college doesn't look today like it ever did before. And so those kinds of relationships that you're talking about are ones that are predicated upon having really good advice from professionals like you. Folks that have been absolutely at the heart of things for the time that things have been changing, mm-hmm. and who right now have their, if you excuse the cliche, have their finger on the pulse.
Yeah, you know, it's my everyday life. I'm constantly, you know, reading articles, talking with my colleagues. I geek out on this stuff, if you couldn't already tell. I love the world of college admissions. I think it's so interesting. And, you know, it's, again, I found the right career path for me. Didn't even know this existed, but I just think it's fascinating. I mean, college admissions is statistics, and there's just a lot to learn, and there's numbers you can look at, but, you know, those can only predict so much. You also have to understand the qualitative piece of, you know, what are students talking about? What do they want and need? What are those conversations like? You know, I encourage students to utilize social media when it comes to researching colleges. You know, what content are colleges putting out there on social media? Are you relating with it? Yes, that is all strategic on the college side as far as what they put out. But I think students can be able to share, is that something I identify with or not? I love when a student tells me, I don't know what my interests are. I'm like, okay, well, what do you follow on TikTok? That's an interest. You know, we can start there. You know, these basic things of, you know, maybe they haven't just thought about that before. But yes, so I'm constantly, you know, keeping my finger on the pulse, as you said earlier, but it's also something that I just find really fascinating. And I feel as though a lot of students, parents, colleagues, friends that I, you know and work with are always asking me about it, because it really is fascinating. You know, colleges do use a ton of statistical data from years past in order to determine their admissions decisions they're going to make for the current year, but sometimes it just doesn't go the way as planned. And so, you know, you're dealing with humans, and there's flow, and you just never know what's going to happen. But I find it exciting. I try to make it less stressful on students as much as possible. That's my goal, is to try to bring the stress down and just, you know, make sure that we have a well-balanced list from the beginning, that the goal is to always have multiple offers of admission to choose from. As long as we have reached that goal, then great. It may not land the way you expected, but you will, you know, have at least, you'll be able to make the decision on where you're going to college instead of the college deciding for you. That's the goal. And so there's lots of options to be able to get there, but it's a quite fascinating process, if you ask me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? You make the college as a student. College does not make you.
And love that. Yes.
You find a place that fits, and you will do fine things in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's just how you maximize those opportunities.
Yeah.
So I have two more questions, if it's okay, just to keep you on the line for a second longer. One of them is a little bit more philosophical, and the other one is sort of straight out technical. Okay. So, if there was going to be a parting piece of advice for the parents of teenagers that are watching today, would there be a kind of, here's a motto, here's something that I think you should do immediately, here's a task, or here's just a mentality that you might want to take when you are speaking to your student when you're speaking to your son or your daughter at the very next time that you talk about college admissions? What's a way to be productive and frankly, to be kind?
Yeah, a couple things there. Easier said than done, but keep blinders on. Don't compare your student to other students. I know that that's very difficult. There's a lot of Facebook groups. You see parents at, you know, pick up, drop off and activities, and you just can't compare your student to other students. There's no other student that looks like your student. Even if you think that they have the same transcript, they don't. They don't have the same resume. They don't have the same skill set or talents. So do your best to keep blinders on. And remember that your student's the one attending college, not you. I think a lot of parents think that it's their experience all over again, and it's not. It's the student's experience. They are going through this experience on their own. It's their own individual time. And so trying to remember that, yes, if you do have an opinion on where you'd like your student to go to college, do your best to just keep that opinion to yourself. Maybe lead your student to hopefully choose a similar opinion. But if they don't, that's also okay. It's their experience. It's their path.
Really, really useful advice. And so I do want to thank you again, Nikki. This has been so cool just to listen to somebody who has this depth of experience and somebody who has walked in a couple of places that I have, but frankly, done way more to understand the entire landscape out there. And it has been so, so heartening. And I hope that everybody from Alliance Tutoring and everybody from New England Education Consultants is also going to be able to learn something here. And so I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew where interested families could reach you and what kind of services they could expect to find when they do.
Thank you so much, Ken. I appreciate your collaboration and camaraderie, and I love working in this space. I think everybody wants to support each other, and I just truly believe in karma. So anyway, I can help other people, you know, I'm always willing to do that. So as far as where to find my services, my website is the best place to go at first. So my company's name is New England Education Consultants. You can Google me as well, and I'll pop up, but my website is needucationconsultants.com. So needucationconsultants.com is where you can find my company. And I also have social media. So both Facebook and Instagram, it's the same handle. It's needucationconsultants. You can find some free content. I try to put out some free advice there as well, videos and such. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm always willing to help, even if you just have a one-off question. But I do offer a variety of services, and I have a variety of consultants that work for me. And we kind of have a collaborative approach to all of our clients, which is great. We all have different expertise that we bring to the table, but we're all former admissions counselors and admissions consultants, as well as former guidance counselors. So we've all worked in the field before. And so collectively, we have a lot of knowledge to share. And again, I can't keep it to myself. I have to help. So anyway, I can, I'm happy to do that. But I just truly thank you for the opportunity. I always have more information to share. I love when people say, tell me about how college admissions decisions are made. I'm like, do you have 3 hours? I'll tell you. It's not easy. It's a complicated process. And so happy to share what I can. But thank you for the time today.
Nikki Kelman, you are clearly a benefit to all of the students and the families that you work with. And I thank you a lot for being on here. But it's been wonderful to have you on the podcast today. And cheers.
Thank you.